Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Bonjour, fabulously delicious. The French Food Podcast is a podcast that's all about the cuisine that is said to have founded modern cooking. French ingredients and dishes have been the starting block for many of the world's best chefs and cooks. On Fabulously Delicious, you'll learn all about those dishes and ingredients, as well as get to know more about fabulous French foodies. I'm your host, Andrew Pryor. Enchanté.
Enchanté.
10 years ago, my life changed when I competed on MasterChef Australia, and now I'm living my best life right here in the French countryside. Here, life is all about cooking, eating, meeting wonderful food producers, chefs, home cooks, drinking amazing wines, eating some of the over, would you believe, 1,500 French cheeses, and sharing these fabulous experiences with you, my fabulously delicious audience. I hope you're enjoying them. Today, we are learning all about the man that was the first American to be trained as a French chef. He was a slave most of his young life and managed to become literate, fluent in French, and the creator of many dishes important to both French and American cuisine today. Sit back. Turn the volume up. If you're not driving, pour yourself a glass of wine, break a baguette, add a bit of saucisson maybe, some of that delicious cheese, and enjoy today's episode of Fabulously Delicious, the story of James Hemmings. James Hemmings was born into slavery in 1765 at the Forest Plantation in Virginia, owned by his father. James's mother was Betty Hemmings, who was the mixed-race daughter of an enslaved African mother and an English sea captain. John Wales was James's father. He took Betty as a forced concubine after he was widowed 3 times. His abuse of James' mother, Betty, lasted 12 years, and she had 6 children, including James, with this man. At just the young age of 8 years old, James Hemmings was purchased by Thomas Jefferson at his residence of Monticello. Monticello was the primary plantation that Jefferson, the future ambassador to France for the United States, and of course the future third president of the United States, owned. Jefferson began designing Monticello at the age of 14, after he inherited the land from his father. It's located just outside of Charleston in Virginia, and is around 5,000 acres in size. Hemmings was the older brother of Sally Hemmings. Both Sally and James were half-siblings of Jefferson's wife, Martha. Upon the death of Martha, Sally travelled with Jefferson to France to look after Jefferson's daughter, also named Martha, and Sally's niece, of course. In Paris, Sally became his lover. In France, though, Sally was considered a free woman, but agreed to return to Virginia with Jefferson as a slave and lover as long as any of their children that they would have would be freed persons. James Hemmings, in his teen years, worked as the riding valet to Jefferson. And in 1781, James and his brother Robert took Jefferson's wife and children to safety when British troops invaded Richmond. When Jefferson was appointed Minister Plenipotentiary to the Court of Versailles, he took James Hemmings with him as his personal valet. Hemmings was 19 years old at the time. Jefferson became a lover of French food and cuisine. And, of course, this was the time of much change in Paris and France relating to food. After the revolutions, chefs who had worked exclusively for the rich and nobility were out of work, and so set up restaurants in major cities, especially Paris. This is where the restaurant culture we know today started. Hemmings was to be trained as a French chef there because of Jefferson's newfound love of French cuisine. This would mean that James would become the first recorded American to be trained as a French chef. During this time, Hemming studied cooking and apprenticed to pastry chefs and other specialists in the kitchen. He worked for the chef of Prince de Condé. He was the last Prince of Condé, who had had no heir since the execution of his son, the Duke of Arnheim, in 1804, by Napoleon. Hemming worked at the Chateau Chantilly. He is credited with bringing whipped cream to the US, and in France, this would have been known as Chantilly cream. And probably this was the inspiration for him. During this time, at Chantilly, it was noted that the table of the Chateau de Chantilly was even better than that of Versailles, the royal residence. After this training, Hemming would finally earn the role of chef de cuisine in Jefferson's kitchen on the Champs-Élysées. As was the custom at the time, the chef has the chance to sell the kitchen offal for his own financial gain. This is how Hemming managed to profit from this position. Chef de cuisine is the French term for the head of the kitchen. The chef de cuisine is in charge of all activities relating to the kitchen, which usually includes creating menus, managing kitchen staff, ordering and purchasing stock and equipment, plating design, enforcing nutrition, safety and sanitization, and ensuring the quality of meals that are served. James became the chef de cuisine within 3 years of training. Hemming would serve his creations to many European aristocrats, writers, scientists, and dignitaries that Jefferson would invite for dinner. Hemming, of course, brought back to America upon his return to the US many French dishes and also inspired many new recipes that came from his experience in France. Some of the recipes he brought back to the US were crème brûlée, meringue, French fries, snow eggs or il flottant, as we know them in France, and the one he invented, most would say, it's not really French at all, but macaroni and cheese. During his time in France, he learned a French dish of pasta and cheese that he called at the time macaroni pie. This is the dish that would then evolve into what we around the world would call macaroni and cheese, and many of us, including myself, would wrongly mistake as an Italian originating dish rather than one created by a slave in France inspired by French cuisine for a future American president. One of many would say injustices to Hemming's career and his life is that mac and cheese was incorrectly attributed to Thomas Jefferson's cousin, Mary Randolph, as she included the recipe in her housekeeping book, The Virginia Housewife. Thankfully, this has now been corrected, and people know that it was Hemming and his hard work that created this dish. Fabulously Delicious is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Check out other fabulous shows at evergreenpodcast.com. If you're enjoying this episode, then you should check out more of the Fabulously Delicious, the French Food Podcast, the Story Of series. We've talked about other fabulous chefs that have made history in one way or another in French food. Some of the many people we've discovered have been the father of French cooking, some would say, Marie-Antoine Carême. Auguste Escoffier, who set up the working processes in today's commercial kitchens. Eugène Brasier, who many would say is the mother of French cooking. And another fabulous French woman who founded the acclaimed Le Cordon Bleu, Elisabeth Brassard. To learn more about these fabulous French chefs and cooks and their stories, please check out Fabulously Delicious, the French Food Podcast, and search The Story Of. Even though Hemming was a free man in France, he returned with Jefferson to the US. Many think this is because of his family relationship with Jefferson and the many relatives still back at the Monticello plantation. In France, though, he was a paid servant, not a slave. He was paid $4 a month, and upon his return to the US when he worked for Jefferson in Philadelphia, Jefferson continued to pay Hemmings's wage for his work as a chef. A note to Hemmings' nature is that during this time in France, remember, he was considered a free person in France at the time and paid as a servant, not a slave. Hemmings independently, with his own money, took lessons to learn how to speak French and eventually would become fluent. During Hemmings' time as a chef for Jefferson, when he was back in the US, he would be the chef for what is considered one of America's most famous dinners. As Secretary of State, Jefferson had a dinner on the 20th of June, 1790, dubbed a meal to save the Union. The guest list included Alexander Hamilton and James Madison, and they agreed, along with Jefferson, to establish Washington, D.C. as the permanent capital in exchange for the federal government assuming the debt of the states. They drank French wine, Hermitage to be exact, ate chapon and chestnut simmered in cream, root vegetables roasted in olive oil, braised beef in red wine and herbs, the aroma of which infused into the room. No servants were used for this meal. Instead, the four-course menu was served by dumb waiters, which Jefferson was attributed to bringing to the US from France. The first course was a green salad that was dressed with a wine jelly that was made from Madeira, milk, lemon juice, sugar, and gelatine, which was served with a white wine from Bordeaux. The second course was the chapon that was stuffed with Virginia ham, a chestnut puree, artichokes, and truffles that had been soaked in chicken broth, white wine, and cream. This was served with a reduction of Calvados and a flambéed brandy for a bit of pizzazz. The third course, prepared by Hemmings, was a bœuf à la mode, a rich beef roast braised in wine, brandy, tomatoes, and herbs. This was served with a bottle of Chambertin, a dark, complex Grand Cru Burgundy, known as the King of Wines. Then they had a palate cleanser of meringues and macarons, and then the final dessert, which was a vanilla ice cream encased in warm puff pastry in the style of what we now know as a baked Alaska. This dessert Jefferson would request Hemmings to make on special occasions to impress his guests. This was served with a glass of champagne. Over brandy, these men would, as you can imagine, would have sat back in a parlour working on finalising what had been negotiated and discussed over dinner, with Jefferson being hailed for the evening's success. But it would be said possibly that the meal itself would not have been such a success, and America, if not the world, a different place, if it wasn't for the food cooked, menu planned, and the talent of Hemmings and his love of French food and skill in making it. In 1796, at the age of 31, Hemmings gained his freedom from Jefferson as a slave. The downside to this freedom, though, was that Hemmings had to train his brother, Peter, as a chef to replace him in serving Jefferson. This was a 3-year process. But finally, Hemmings left Monticello with his freedom and, for the 5 years' work, $30 in his pocket. Jefferson wrote in 1793 regarding Hemmings requesting and negotiating his freedom. Having been at great expense in having James Hemmings taught the art of cookery, desiring to befriend him and to require from him as little in return as possible, I hereby do promise and declare that if the said Hemmings should go with me to Monticello in the course of the ensuing winter, when I go to reside there myself, and shall there continue until he shall have taught such person as I shall place under him for the purpose to be a good cook, this previous condition being performed, he shall thereupon be made free. At the time of his freedom, Hemmings was literate. His handwritten note of inventory of kitchen supplies before he left Monticello is in the Library of Congress, along with recipes and other writings. Hemmings was also fluent in French. After some travel around Europe, Hemmings eventually returned to the US and worked in Philadelphia as a cook. Jefferson tried several times upon hearing of Hemmings' return to the US to get him to work for him at the White House. Hemmings declined each time. On one occasion, Hemmings requested that Jefferson put his invitation for work and the conditions in writing, and he would agree. But Jefferson never did this. Hemmings never married, nor did he have any children. He moved to Baltimore, and in Baltimore, he was working in a kitchen. At the age of 36, Hemmings passed away. It is recorded that he died at his own hands in a suicide attempt. A tragic end to life, thought to have been brought on by alcohol. James Hemmings' culinary legacy was unacknowledged for over two centuries, until research from modern-day chefs and culinary historians revealed his role in blending Virginian, French, and African recipes, which we would now think of as American cuisine. Not knowing when he died, or possibly even throughout his life, how much of his skill and talent and life would be contributed to not only American cuisine, but also how important a figure he would be in French cuisine and French food history. James Hemmings is the chef that brought so much to us all and will always be an essential figure in the history of French chefs and cooks. A head chef or chef de cuisine. That's it for another episode of Season 3 of Fabulously Delicious. I hope you're enjoying this episode in collaboration with Gary from the French History Podcast. What's the most fabulous thing you've learned from today's episode? Let me know by contacting me via Instagram. You can slide into my DMs at Andrew Pryor Fabulously, or you can email me on contact@andrewpryorfabulously.com. I'd love to chat with you all. We could just have a chat about France and French food if you want. Wherever you're in the US or wherever it is that you live, I love talking to people about food and especially French food. Thank you for listening. And remember, you know what my motto is. Whatever you do, do it fabulously. Merci beaucoup and bon app.
Hi, I'm Emma.
And I'm Joe.
And we're the professional book nerds. Two Mondays a month, we interview authors and talk about their upcoming books, what drives them, and their go-to order at the cafe.
On Thursdays, we share recommendations and dive into topics readers face, like, how do I actually read the books on my to-be-read list?
You can find the Professional Book Nerds podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn more about us? Our website is professionalbooknerds.com, and you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at ProBookNerds.
We hope you'll come and listen, and as always,
happy reading!